I'm always happy, glad to be here, and to testify of things that Yahweh has revealed to me. And I feel, and have felt for 37 years, that what was revealed to me wasn't just exactly for me alone. It was too gigantic. And to date, I feel within myself, and I would like for you to have an experience of this feeling. What benefit, or what good, or what profit is there in me getting up, giving you some kind of a fantastic tale of ideology, or just standing up here lying to you about who's going to do something? What benefit is there? See, it doesn't help me, and it won't help you. And another thing I want you to know, too, is this. It's taken place with me 37 years ago, in 1931. Now, I've often used a statement like this. See, I did see a vision. And I have seen and talked with apparitions. Now, I'm fully aware that everybody has never seen one. I'm just as aware that as I can be. There is millions of people all over the world that have never seen one. Consequently, they just don't know whether to accept it or not. But now let me tell you in such a way that you can understand what I'm talking about. Some people say ghost. An apparition is called a ghost. Now, in reading many books of the adepts, the masters and the sages in the Far East, as I have tried to tell you, there are many different interpretations to the Bible. For example, when the reader got up here to read the Bible to you, he told you that he was reading from the Holy Name version of the Bible. And he told you that the correct name of the Father, when you look at or have been taught all your life, is God. It's really Yahweh. And he also told you about the Lord. He told you about the Yahshua, whom you know as Jesus Christ. By the word that was written in the Bible, you know it. Now that's Hebrew. Now this is what I'm saying. Now I'm trying to teach, not preach. But of course, true teaching is preaching. But I am trying now to explain with all that in me is. And my objective and purpose and intention for so doing is to try my best to persuade you to see that you believe and understand the reality of the Spirit. Now that's what my purpose is. Now, the reason for that is this. You have been deceived. You've been fooled. You've been misled. And to those whom some of you trust as of now, have confessed that they misled the people. They confessed. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about there, so you won't make no mistake about it. In the International Council of the Churches that was held in New Delhi, India, the individual who published our book, Dr. Durrett, was present at that meeting. And they used our book as a criteria. And now, look, listen now, just don't finagle around with words. We said the International Council of Churches. And they said, now listen to what I'm going to say. Now they said themselves, and we do have it in a newspaper clipping. We don't have to take Durrett's word for it. They confessed that they had been walking in darkness and not in light. They had misled the people, and they were going to have to go back home and study all over. Now they didn't ram this up in my face. Here is the article. I don't need that. I got one in the pocket. Thanks. Now here is the article. Dr. Hess, would you mind reading some of it? See, a lot of times when we get up here and tell people, we're dead serious about the
question. That's right.
You see? And so we want you to realize that, see? Now the only way that we can do that is to give you actual facts from the case.
This is November the 20th, 1961. Two church groups join at World Parley, New Delhi. Two powerful agencies of Christian cooperation of the World Council of Churches and the International Missionary Council were merged Sunday. The historic action combines the three basic strands of the church unity movement: mission, worship, and service. It came as followers of many denominations convened in this land of many gods. A vast procession representing churches of nearly every kind and nation stepped forth in bright Indian sunlight to launch the World Council's Third General Assembly. It was a stirring and colorful cavalcade as believers from around the globe, clad in their varied dress according to place and tradition, marched four abreast to an opening worship service. The light shines in the darkness was the devotional text. Metropolitan Johannan Mar Thomas of Mar Thomas Syrian Church of Malabar said, "We have come together in this place out of many nations because Christ, who is the light of the world, hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We confess that we have walked in darkness rather than in light, that we have hidden from men the true light of the world because our works were evil."
Thank you very much. Is there anything else, John, that you think is important and ought to be with?
With the answer.
Now, we're here to learn. this year we want to know something about it.
No, only the thing about it is afterwards in the first business session, the council, which includes 175 denominations with 250 million members, sealed its consolidation with the Missionary Confederation. That's it.
Now, do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they confessed it.
That's right.
They admitted it. See? Now, if I got up and said something about it, then somebody that don't know the difference, they're all hot and sore with me.
Right.
See? Now, I don't have to... Now, we're talking about religion. We're talking about Yahweh and the universe. We're talking about what is right and what is wrong. We're talking about Yahweh or God and the devil. We're talking about righteousness and deception. See? That's what we're talking about. So you don't misunderstand. Now, you know as well as I do, everybody can't be right. See, we don't even need no sense for that. Now, I can preach. Not both. I don't believe there's a man in the state of California to make me preach.
That's right.
I just don't believe it. And many of you have heard me preach. That's not what I'm trying to do. Of course, I told you, true teaching is preaching. Now, we have come down. Now, listen close to everything I say tonight. See, where we are going to prove or disapprove. The divine authenticity or the divine authority of this book, which we call the Bible. Listen, and the eternal existence of Yahweh. To which every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess. And I want you to know that I don't have nothing to do, no blowing and boasting about myself. Just don't have it. Nothing to do, no bragging about. Hello. And I would not know what I know tonight if it had not been shown to me in a vision. Now, this is what I've done. Since it was revealed to me in a vision, see, I didn't understand the vision. Now, am I getting it over to you? I didn't understand the vision. And then afterwards, see, the meaning of the vision was revealed to me. Now I want you to know that before that time I was a assistant pastor of the Church of God, a holiness church, for 15 years in the city of Springfield, Ohio. I believed in living a holy, consecrated life unto God. Conscientious. I want you to know that. And to the very best of my ability, I lived it. Young people from every which way come from miles to hear me preach. something happened. An accusation was brought against me that I was not guilty of. Then, too, now listen to what I'm saying. I never did believe in my life that unless you can see a thing for yourself and it becomes a reality to you, I do not believe in you accepting that thing as fine and just going on following the crowd. I don't believe in that kind of thing. I believe in you making an investigation for yourself. So you are the one that's going to have to stand in the judgment. Now, Mama, Papa, Reverend, and nobody else can do that. You try. The scripture says, Yahweh said, as I live, and he is what? Says Yahweh, as I live, to me, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Yahweh to the glory. Yahshua the Messiah to the glory of God, of Yahweh. Now, you're going to have to do that. Now, Yahshua the Messiah, now listen closely to what I'm saying. Yahshua the Messiah said in the 24th chapter of Matthew that many false prophets would go out, many false teachers would go out. John said in his epistle, written in 1890, said they've already gone out. You understand? Now, there is a negative and a positive. There's a true and a false. There are satanic spirits or demonic spirits incarnated in men posing as preachers and at feet that heads up these denominations. Now, a lot of so says the book, and if you don't say the book says so, I'll read. They design for money. And they do not know what they're talking about. Then another thing I want to point out to you here is this. If Yahweh said that he would listen, that he would destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Now, he said he was going to do that. And that is just exactly what he has done. That's why you have so much confusion in the world today. Now, what men do, they do it right in your presence. They stand up and deny. And you are not wise enough because you don't know the purpose. They're not wise enough to catch. They say Yahshua the Messiah, or to some of you that know Jesus Christ, they say he's wrong to right through his face. Then write up in the book and say, and withstand you to the face, and even after you have read. Now I'll show you pretty soon how that's done. Now, let me see if I can say it to you this way. The 37 going on 38 years, with all the troubles that I have had, domestic problems, with my wife and children, my relatives and whatnot. And listen, I want you to know I have been beat up bodily. The Muslims beat me up at 906 Hopkins Street in Cincinnati, Ohio. They said that Allah was God, and he was in Chicago. They got to do it. In the insurance business. Five of them jumped on and said that they was going to kill all of the Negroes that would not cooperate with them. They were going to kill them anyhow in 1970. That's next year. And for many months, I couldn't move my arm to comb my head and whatnot. And after they got through beating me up, they unlocked the door and said, "Now you can go." Said, "No, I'm not ready." So, now, what that was all about, I want to show you now what that was all about. You see, there was a lady that attended our class in Cincinnati. At that time, my wife and I were separated. And she thought a whole lot of me as a boyfriend. And because I had some white people in the organization, then, as we do now, you see, their contention was that all the reason why they were white was because they were possessed with the devil. So then, they didn't. This lady, after I wouldn't cooperate with her, see. Be our boyfriend. I'm just telling you plain so you can understand what I'm talking about. Then she left. And then she went and got with the black Muslims. And then they sent their leader up. When I was on inspection in the insurance business, I had a grandson insured. And they locked the door and beat me up. And they tried to make me take it back. But I had a vision and a revelation. And after they had beat me as long as they pleased, you see, and when they turned me loose and unlocked the door, I said, "Look, I'm not ready to go. Now we're up on the third floor, too." Now look, I used to be a prize fighter. And if you grab me around my head like you have done around my neck, see, bend me over, I would tear your ears out of you, left and right, gunstand, rain them on you, and so on, many of them, and then so far that part, parchment, pugilism, and it's all fiber. See, but there's no fight in me. I don't seek to defend myself. And what I have said is true, and I will rather die than to take it back. And that's been my story ever since Yahweh showed me the vision. And I look right at it just like I'm looking at you guys here. See? Then they sat down And they said, would you come down to our temple after we beat you up like we have? I said, why, sure. I said, you don't know no better. You know what you're doing. I'm not even angry with you about it. Said, well, you have to prove that to me. So they asked me when I was coming. I told them I didn't know. But I said, I'm a very, very busy man, but the first opportunity I get, I'll be there. So, and it was about a week. Or maybe a day or two over a week.
Yeah.
Right? By myself, no protection. Alone and by myself. Right in to the temple. Didn't set no back seat. On front seat. Right up in the front. Front seat. And the leader of that group, see, when I came in the door back there, they took everything off of me I had on. See that I had no guns nor nothing like that. See, no pocket knives or anything. I had the company's money on. Insurance company's money on my person. I had a fountain pen and a race book. They took it away from me at the door before I came in. And the leader told that group, said, listen, I want you to give everything back to that man that you took off of him at that door. And if any of you in this place put your hands on him anymore, I mean, he's standing right in the pool. And I'm sitting right in front of him. So you have to settle with me. Because he's either seen somebody else, he's a big fool about it. And when I walk the streets of Cincinnati, uptown or anywhere, anytime any of them saw me, they put their hands. And greeted me with all the courtesy and respect that they command. Now, that was the Mohammedans. You understand? Now that leads me to tell you about the Koran, since we told you about this book. Now the Koran, see, a lot of people think it was written by Elijah Muhammad. He was born in 632 A.D. Elijah Muhammad did not write the Koran. And what it is a corruption of the scripture. No man born in 632 A.D. can go back and correct what Moses did. Now this reincarnation of the prophet Elijah, that's a lie too. Now the reason why I say that that's a lie is the reincarnation of the prophet Elijah. And something else I want you to know about that. See, Elijah, the prophet Elijah, never wrote a thing.
Right.
See, I'm talking about it was the others that wrote of Elijah. It was not Elijah that wrote the scripture. Now, so far as the reincarnation of Elijah in the modern, the 632, that's a lie. See, that cannot be. See? Now, here's where you stumble. See, you're gullible. And because somebody said they was, then you just go ahead and accept it. You see? And that's just not so. See? Then this is Elijah Muhammad up here in Chicago. He's supposed to be a reincarnation of the other one. See? Now let me tell you about reincarnation. And I want to tell you in such a way you can see, such a way you can understand. Now, the quick and easy way for me to tell you about it, when Yahshua the Messiah was here, walking around on the face of the earth, he sent his disciples out to cast out demons or cast out devils. I'm trying to talk so you know what I'm talking about. Now, that's before he died. He sent them out to cast them out. And they came back rejoicing because the evil spirit was made subject unto them. Is that right?
Right.
Now, if you don't think that's in this book this way, I'll read. Anything I tell you, you don't believe it's in here, hold your hand up. I'll read it. I know where it is. See, I don't want to kid nobody about nothing. See? Now then, they came back rejoicing because they had cast out those demonized spirits. You see? And Messiah told them, said, don't rejoice at that, but rather rejoice because your limbs are enrolled in heaven. You see? Now listen, when those evil spirits were cast out of men, so says Messiah, they walk through dry places, seeking rest, and don't find it. Then they go, he goes right back to the house, or to the temple, or to the body, or to the person out of whom he was cast. And this is what he finds. He finds the house ripped and dying, but not occupied. See, it's all swept and garnished and all cleaned up, you see, but not occupied. Now then, he can't go back into that by himself. He has to go get some help to break into it like that. Now, if he could go back into it by himself, then that would be reincarnation. See, but that's not what happened. See, he had to go get legion and then crash the gate. And then the last state of that man was worse than the first. Now let me give it to you in a way you can see it this way now. See, Yahshua the Messiah and his disciples, before he died, healed everybody that had any sickness. He healed their physical body.
Right.
Which is the equivalent to saying he cast out the devil. You understand?
Yep.
Healed everybody. See? See? Leprosy and all other kinds of diseases.
Yeah.
You see? Now, when he gets down to the third year, I'm telling you why the latter state of that person is worse than it was at first. See? Now, when he gets down to the cross, time for him to be crucified, the Sanhedrin council, that's the chiefs and the leaders, the instructors of the Jews, you see, they cried out, crucify him, away with him. And they blended right into the crowd. You understand? And the last state was worse than the first. You see that now? That's before he died. Now, after his death and resurrection, he sent the disciples out to cast out these evil spirits. You understand? But now there's a difference between that time and after his resurrection. Instead of him just being cast out and the house being garnished, you understand, or cleaned all up, you see, quite occupied. Occupied with what? They become a recipient of the Holy Spirit. And they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. How long? Until the day of redemption. There will be no breaking in. Now did I? Now you understand reincarnation. See? Now, let's get this part of reincarnation straight. Let's get this straight. Now there is nothing in the universe. Not a thing. Invisible, animal, organic, inorganic, or matter, in any shape, condition, or form. Animate and inanimate. Are you listening? That Yahweh is not in. Matter is spirit materialized. Now, what did I say that for? See, Yahweh don't jump out of this one. See, and get in another. See, now they'll say it like this. A child, when he's born in the world, see, he is another individual that was way back there. Do you understand? That's incarnated in another body. Now let me show the fallacy and the folly and the superstition and ignorance in that. But just transfer it over to the vegetable kingdom. Yahweh, when he created, he made the tree. Now you listen. Now we haven't got to no man yet. I said he made the tree. See? And they were full-grown trees to begin with. Listen, and they have seed, yielding seed. You see?
Yeah.
Now, just like a man, you understand? He's a full-grown man.
Right.
Yahweh created. See? And he has seed within himself to yield seed, you understand? Or to continue the population of the earth, just like the trees are populated. You understand? And one don't have to go down for the other one to come up. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about reincarnation, the ignorance and the superstition of it. See? And it's nothing in the world. See? That he isn't in. Listen, here's a quotation by the Apostle Paul. Up in Mars here, in Athens, Greece. See? And at Corinth, too. Said, you ought not to think that the Godhead is like wood and hay and stubble. You ought not to think that.
See?
Listen, neither is he worshipped by men's hands.
That's right.
See? That's not all. Here goes the church. See? Neither does he dwell in temples made by hands. Solomon, when he dedicated the temple that set out on Mount Moriah, he spread forth his hands and he roared God. And he said to Yahweh, Elohim, he said that heaven of heavens cannot contain me, to say nothing of this house that I have built. The Apostle Paul takes it up again. Listen, don't you know that your body, that's the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why Yahshua the Messiah said, John 2:19, destroy this temple and I'll build it again in 3 days.
The gentleman said, our fathers was 46 years in building this temple, and how can you say that you can build it again in 3 days? John expounded or explained and said, this spake here of the temple of his body. You see? You understand? Now, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit,
right.
Not the building.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to know something else. Were you made by hand?
No.
See? You get it? See how clear that is?
Now, listen close. When you go into etymology, what do you mean? Define what you're talking about. Etymology deals with the origin and derivative of words. A mean, you understand? As they were originally coined.
You see?
Lexicography,
see,
deals with the definition of words as they are used in the common category of language.
See?
Now, if you take the dictionary and the common category of language, they'll tell you, now this is a lexical logic, they'll tell you the business, the text.
See?
And then you go on down in an unabridged dictionary, which gives all the lexicological and also the etymological meaning of words.
Yeah.
Go on down and get the etymological meaning of, and it'll tell you this. You see the point?
Yeah.
Now, we've said enough for that. Now, what we want to get on now is doctrine. Doctrine of the church.
Now, be pleased to ask the Lord and say.
Now, that brings me to tell you about the Roman Catholics. It brings me to tell you about the original Jews. It brings me to tell you about the Protestants. Now you remember you already done read the paper. Don't forget that. And I do want you to know that there's three different types of Jews. There's the Orthodox Jew, that's the old original Jew. That's still yet looking for Messiah to come. See? There's a conservative Jew. He's hanging on the fence. He just flattered. He don't know what to say. And then there's an Orthodox Jew that accepts Yahshua the Messiah. Now I think that brings me, that should bring me to tell you this about this holy name Bible. See? Training that wrote this Bible translated from the King James Version of the Bible. He is an Italian Jew of the tribe of Naphtali. He is a Jew.
See? You understand?
Yeah.
And he went back to the original name. You see, as they were originally in the Mosaic script. And as they were in the prophet Isaiah, this that is confirmed by the Dead Sea Scrolls. Roman Catholics have now admitted, Seventh-day Adventists have admitted, Jehovah's Witnesses have admitted. And if you don't think they have, I'll bring you some living.
All right.
See, that Yahweh is forever. not to us is correct.
Fact.
Mm-hmm. Lay it down and read it to you. You could do that yourself if you would. See? Now, I want to tell you something else. Now, this is a school, not a church. Now, let me define the word church. If you would talk about church, the definition and the etymological meaning of the word church